This is the Reading Instruction Show. I'm your host, Dr. Andy Johnson. Let's see if we can learn some stuff today. Today, this is the first in a two-part series looking at whole language. That's right, it's a chapter or a podcast about whole language. But hasn't whole language been debunked? That's the term used by science of reading enthusiasts for things with which they don't understand. It's been debunked, they tell me. Whole language has been debunked. Balanced literacy has been debunked. The three cueing system has been debunked. Ken Goodman has been debunked. The theory of gravity has been debunked. I'm just waiting to get my official debunking notice in the mail. I'm anticipating the day when someone will slap my forehead, sprinkle bath salts on me, and yell, "In the name of Emily Hanford and all that is holy, I debunk you." But alas, alack, perhaps I'm far too insignificant to be debunked. Currently, I am undebunked or simply bunked. But perhaps if I work real hard, someday I, too, can be significant enough to be debunked. We can dream, yes? Whole versus part. Previously, I've talked and said that teaching component parts in isolation is not nearly as effective as addressing the various interdependent and interacting elements holistically within a meaningful context. So let's unpack this a little bit more. Let's look first at part-to-whole instruction, and then I'll look at whole-to-part instruction. Structured literacy is based on the idea that people learn complex things best by mastering each little part separately and then putting the parts together to create the whole. This is called part-to-whole instruction or Humpty Dumptyanism. Applied to reading, you would pull apart each of the 8 strands of Scarborough's reading rope, then teach all the little subparts related to each of the 8 strands, one little subpart at a time, until all the 8 strands and their corresponding subparts were mastered. The theory here is that at some point, children would be able to put all the subparts back together again and engage in the act of reading. It just makes good sense, yes? There are 26 letters used to make the 44 phonemes found in the English language. These 44 phonemes are represented by over 280 letter sound combinations. You teach children how to decode, they say, by first teaching them how to put all of the 280 letter sound combinations together so they can apply them to all the words they will ever encounter. It just makes good sense, yes? The idea is that children eventually develop what's called an orthographic map in their head. Orthographic mapping refers to the words stored in long-term memory based on letter patterns. Now think of a storage locker in your head. Here, all the short A words would be stored in one section of the locker, and within this section there'd be boxes of AT words and AP words and AB words and such. These are phonograms, by the way. And you'd have another section of short E words with boxes filled with ED words and EB words and EG and EL phonograms and such. There'd be other boxes of words laying around with VC syllables and digraph blends, schwa sounds, R-controlled syllables, R-controlled vowels, and CK endings. There'd be boxes filled with silent G words and VCV words, protector rules, and you get the picture. You'd have a whole bunch of different boxes and a whole bunch of different sections with a whole bunch of different words, all neatly organized based on letter patterns in your long-term memory. Then, when you encounter a word while reading, you just go to the right section, find the right box, match the word on the page with the word in one of the boxes, attach meaning to it, and see if the word makes sense in the made sense in the sentence. And there you go, you'd be reading. Simple as that. It just makes good sense, yes? Orthographic mapping is a fine theory, yes? Well, yes and no, and yes and no. Orthographic mapping makes perfect sense to an adult mind with years and years of reading experience and a good grasp of the whole. To Louisa Moats and all her letters minions, it makes good sense and good profit. But to a six-year-old, not so much. It's a bit of an abstraction, and it gets in the way of reading. And as we'll see in the next chapter, orthographic mapping may be a thing, but semantic mapping, called semantic memory, is much more of a thing. This means that when we encounter a word like cat, our brain doesn't make connections with similar orthographic things like other short A words or AT phonogram words. Our brain makes connections with semantic things like kitty, paws, furry, pet, puppy. That's because reading is not simply recognizing letter patterns. Rather, it's using letter patterns and a bunch of other information to create meaning. In the same way, listening isn't about recognizing phoneme patterns. Rather, it's about using phoneme patterns and a whole bunch of other information to create meaning. Reading and listening are all about meaning and creating meaning. They are meaningful versus meaningless. So let's look at whole to part. We know that part-to-whole structured literacy approaches to reading instruction are limited. We know this. Besides research supporting a balanced approach, we know this in part because we know that complex learning of any kind occurs best when it's whole-to-part versus part-to-whole. In other words, we learn complex things best if we're able to get a sense of the whole first, then we're taught individual parts within the context of the whole. As an example, if we're given a puzzle one puzzle piece at a time, we will eventually figure out how all the puzzle pieces fit together. But it will take a lot of time and energy, and it won't be very efficient. However, if we're able to look at the picture on the front of the box first to get a sense of the whole, and we're given the puzzle pieces, we have a sense of where the puzzle pieces go. They are meaningful. It takes much less time and is more efficient. We're able to use context. And again, each puzzle piece will have some meaning. Now, does that mean structured literacy has been debunked? No. Real reading science doesn't go around debunking things. Things are simply not that black and white. A structured approach may indeed work for some children at some levels for some purposes. But it's a bit of a stretch to infer that it's therefore best for all children at all levels for all reading purposes. This means that to enable all children to achieve their full literacy potential, which should be our goal, you must immerse them in authentic reading and writing experiences first, then explicitly teach the necessary skills within this context. Here, children are able to see the big picture as the context for the sub-skills they learn related to reading and writing. In other words, it makes sense. This means as well that any type of word work or phonics instruction should occur, to the greatest extent possible, within the context of authentic texts or sentences. Making sense. Young children need to read books. Well, what the hell, you say? How can children read if they can't read? That don't make no sense at all. Well, here's the thing. Children can create meaning with text before they've had any formal decoding instruction. In a brilliant series of studies, Emilia Fierro and Anna Taborowski found that young pre-decoding children were engaged in meaning-making behaviors with print prior to any formalized decoding instruction. This was their natural inclination. It was a sense-making endeavor. When formalized reading instruction began, it became senseless, and it was harder for them. Suddenly, it wasn't about stories and characters anymore. It was about putting certain sounds to certain symbols and putting the symbols together. It was an abstraction. Now, to read, pre-decoding children use picture clues, knowledge of story grammar, background knowledge to create meaning with print as they look at books. In group settings, pre-decoding children can read using choral reading and echo reading. Short bits of direct, explicit, systematic phonics instruction takes place within this context. Children and teachers do shared writing and reread their stories. Short bits of direct, explicit, systematic phonics instruction takes place within this context. Temporary spelling is used to write stories and letters. Short bits of direct, explicit, systematic phonics instruction takes place within this context. Sentence strips and sentence anagrams are also used for developmentally appropriate writing and reading instruction. Short bits of direct, explicit, systematic phonics instruction takes place within this context. And letter games, art projects, science activities, and play activities are all designed and used to capture young children's natural inclination to play and explore the world around them and at the same time reinforce letter-sound correspondence. This is called developmentally appropriate instruction. And it's magic. It's a miracle. This has been the Reading Instruction Show. I am your host, Dr. Andy Johnson.